Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by the Armchair Media Network. Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert are thriving, so do the right thing, Miami. Make it two a time. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the guy who will forever trust Chris Ballard. And with me, as always, is AJ.
I told y'all for 4 years Herbert had it, Marchese.
Finally letting him throw it down the field, Rob.
Today, we're talking all NFL rookies who thrived and struggled in week 4. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby driving up. To Cleveland, maybe, looking for a Lawrence or Sewell. Don't draft specialists on the first day, eh? Don't draft specialists on the second day, eh? Maybe draft a punter in the sixth. We'll see. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
The wait is finally over. A triple header of fun is upon us this week. Football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff early. The NBA Finals are here and the MLB playoffs are in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take full advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. Speaking of experts, how about the Pac-12? Because they're playing. Am I right, AJ?
It's so true. There's so lots of good schools there, Rob. Experts.
And we've got three guys opting back in. USC offensive lineman Elijah Vera Tucker, Oregon corner Diamandore Lenoir. That's not how you say that. That's for sure. And Cal corner Cam Bynum have all opted back in.
Sick. That's fun. It's going to be fun to watch all three of them, Rob. And Vera Tucker's a guy who like kind of just kept rising in the summer. But like it's the summer, so there's no tape. It's just more people started liking him. I wasn't a very big fan. I wanted to see more, so I'm happy that I'm getting to see more, Rob.
And he might be playing left tackle.
Yeah, that's we'll see how that goes.
And that Oregon secondary super needed Lenoir to come back because for the time being, Brady Breeze, Javon Holland,
yeah,
and Thomas Graham have all opted out.
Yeah, Brady Breeze the late opt out.
Brady Breeze, NFL bound, special teams Hall of Famer.
Daniel Sorensen, pro comp.
Jordan Glasgow, pro comp. Hey, more on him in a bit. But yeah, so I'm sure we'll have maybe a couple more Pac-12 guys opt back in, yeah, over the next week or so. Season starts November 7th, but AJ hates that it's at noon.
It's a 9 a.m. local kick, man. God, it's weird for the body.
You're in the Eastern time zone. It doesn't affect you at all.
Oh, my God. You don't understand. I've been standing up against East Coast bias my entire life, all right?
The schools had to agree to the time slot, so they're fine with it.
Oh, my God. You don't get it. You don't get the culture out west.
You're right. Larry Scott's an idiot. Shouldn't get more eyeballs on his games, especially when it's the two best sophomore quarterbacks in the conference playing.
Man, play all games 3:30 local time. The whole schedule.
God, get rid of Pac-12 after dark.
That's it, man. They gotta get it peak midday performance for the body clock.
when that sun's nice and bright in Cali in Arizona.
Yeah, no more playing Hawaii either. That's too long of a flight.
All right, into the rookie talk from week four in the NFL. Starting with the rookie QB rundown, who maybe 2 weeks from now Tua will be on it, but for the time being, Brian Flores says Fitzpatrick's their starting quarterback. Okay, let's start with Joe Burrow against the Jaguars. Got his first NFL win. Threw for 300 again. Hit a score. Overall, they did a much better job, I thought, of play calling, where it wasn't, because obviously, as we've seen the last couple of weeks, it's been Joe Burrow throwing it like 40 to 60 times a game.
Yeah.
They finally got Joe Mixon far more involved. They used him in the passing game a lot, and it really supplemented Joe Burrow's game. And obviously, we know how much Burrow does like to get the running back involved in the passing game, having seen what he did with Clyde Edwards-Helaire at LSU. So it was nice to see Mixon more involved. He is so good at spreading the ball around. That's the other thing, where AJ Green only had one catch in this game, a couple more targets than that, but essentially a non-factor. But he was loving Tyler Boyd out of the slot. T. Higgins had another really impressive game. He got Auden Tate involved a little bit. He just doesn't look like it wasn't a mind-numbingly great performance or anything. It was a good, solid game, but in the context of him being a rookie, I thought it was a great game.
I think Burrow's gotten a lot better from the first 2 weeks of the season to the last two. And, like, it's like it might not show in the stats, but I think he's just getting so much more comfortable, and it's a lot more of, you know, like the completion percentage is up and the attempts are down. And he's completing a lot more, like, balls past the sticks, too, which I appreciate.
Yeah. The depth of target is certainly deeper.
I think he's in
those first two games.
I think he's on the top of the league in 10-plus yard completions, air yards.
And in those first two games, it was a lot of I don't want to say check downs, but it was a lot of quick game, a lot of like 5 under 10 yard throws. Yeah. And now it's like he's working the seam a lot with Tyler Boyd. He's working the outside corners with T. Higgins. And he's not forcing balls where, like, it's not like he's the Jaguars really heavily covered AJ Green because I guess, I don't know, they still think he's not throwing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he, like, it wasn't like he was trying to force the ball to AJ Green. He works those progressions consistently. Here comes the Burrow train, and he gets the ball out quick. And the other thing is the offensive line was much better in this game. Part of that was the Jaguars' front four looked awful, but overall, another great game from Joe Burrow. I don't think he's had a bad game as a rookie in these four starts.
No,
and okay. Yeah, I think you're right where maybe statistically it's not like a dominant performance, but he's getting better each week. He looks more comfortable, and he doesn't look like a rookie, and I think that's kind of the biggest compliment you can give. He's so poised, and he's very, very accurate, and he's a really great decision maker.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, as we've said from the jump, man, it's just like he's reinvigorated that Bengals offense, and he's had them in every game.
And then on the other side of it, we got Justin Herbert, who, it's funny because Burrow, it's almost like let's compare this to basketball. He's like a jump shooter, where he's just taking those gimme twos, like a DeMar DeRozan, and Justin Herbert's out here shooting deep threes like a Steph Curry.
I don't know who any of these basketball people talk. Are. Yeah,
yeah. But point being, Herbert threw for 3 touchdowns, 290 against the Bucs, completed 80% of his passes,
yep.
Had 2 massively impressive touchdown passes. The third the second touchdown of the 3 was to Donald Parham in the left corner, and that was just a really nice, like, the people he was throwing to was hilarious.
Yeah, it was Tyron Johnson, Jalen Guyton, and Donald Parham at touchdowns. Our kings.
Yeah, like. And we talked about previously how we thought this Chargers offense, once Herbert can build some more chemistry with Mike Williams as a downfield target, that this Chargers offense could get really exciting. Obviously, Mike Williams is hurt right now, but you saw in this game with the Guyton and the Johnson touchdowns what he can do with a deep threat. And I'm really excited to see what they do when Mike Williams gets healthy. There's no way you can go back to Rod Taylor after this type of game from Justin Herbert. No. I think this is one of the best games I've seen from a rookie quarterback in my life. And, like, that's not even hyperbole. Those two deep throws were so impressive. Like, the fact that he had the arm talent to hit Johnson on the play-action deep shot. And then the other one was a 3rd and 7. Tampa brought 7 on the blitz. He's going to get killed. And off his back foot, he throws a dime.
You know what else I could add to that Johnson throw is, like, how many times do you think Herbert's thrown to Johnson in his life? Like...
That's a good point. Like, they called him up off the practice squad this week.
Exactly. And, like, the perfect ball placement, like you just said, just came out the practice squad. That throw was unreal. And then, yeah, the throw to Guyton was awesome, too. And Guyton's been a bit of a guy for them, which is kind of cool. I also thought, like, Herbert was just cooking on the sideline throws. Like 10, yes. 12 yards on the sideline. Multiple throws, I thought, like, when he released it, there was no chance he was connecting, and he did.
He can make every throw.
Yeah, and, like, going back to your how you touched upon him throwing off the back foot on the Guyton touchdown, he's kind of like – I feel like he was fading in the pocket a lot in this game and throwing off the back foot. But, like you just said, he can make every throw, and it's not affecting his accuracy or arm strength. Like, it might end up coming back to bite him, like the – I don't know what the fuck the game-ending interception was. But overall, man, he looked fantastic. And running, too. He, not a big running performance, but getting it done.
Leading rusher, so
yeah, not saying much, but yeah.
The fact that they lost Austin Ekeler fairly early in this game and had absolutely zero run game without Ekeler, yeah. and it just was kind of on Herbert's shoulders to try and... They built up a big lead early. They're up 21-7, and Tampa comes back and wins, but he had to carry that entire offense. Like, Keenan Allen was banged up. The offensive line wasn't playing all that well. That's one of the best defenses in the league. And the moment wasn't too big for him. And he was just so poised. And he's got that even keel, like, yeah. Some people would almost fault it. He almost seems spacey, right?
Didn't it almost feel like people were faulting that coming out of Oregon, though?
Yeah, they were. I was gonna say that. That was a knock on him. It was the same, same but different knock on Marcus Mariota, and Jared Goff. But, like, I don't know. He just seems so unrattled, and the moment never seems too big.
Well, like, even when watching Hard Knocks, you know, we had clips of Anthony Lynn saying, "I want him to be a bit more of a vocal leader," right? And that was some of the stuff that we heard out of Eugene. But he's been amazing, man. You can't go back to Tyrod. Agreed.
I will say, I've never seen him have more emotion than when Michael Davis had that pick six.
Yeah, no, you're right, for sure.
It was like the first time. Wasn't even that emotional after finally winning the Rose Bowl for Oregon.
Maybe it's because he doesn't want to be vocal, so he was getting yelled at every time he suggested throwing the ball more than 5 yards downfield at Oregon.
Yeah, fuck Oregon for never unleashing that arm.
We said it for years. Against Tampa. For years.
Everyone. It got worse. Yeah. It got worse as the longer he was there, right?
It did.
Marcus Arroyo, isn't he UNLV's head coach now? How did that happen? But yeah, Marcus Arroyo living in the bubble screen land only. And God. Anyway, it's enough Herbert talk. Or is it? Who's your offensive rookie of the week?
It is Justin Herbert, but we just did a 25 minutes on him, so
I put a second one down just because I knew we'd end up talking about Herbs forever. Because we've loved Herbs since he was a sophomore at Oregon.
Sure. I saw my second guy, I gave it to Tristan Wirfs.
Oh, God, me too.
Oh, fuck. Okay. We're so predictable. Yeah, man.
Well,
Go ahead.
He locked down Joey Bosa.
Definitely, yeah. He put him on the ground like 5 times. Bosa was slipping a lot, but he put him on the ground 5 times. I think this is from PFF. Bosa posted his lowest pressure rate in a single game since week 4 of 2017.
So which was his rookie year?
Yeah. So that's impressive as hell from Wirfs. I thought I don't know, like for a big matchup, and you know they were down in that game the whole time pretty much, and you know the Bosa could just pin his ear back, but he just felt so calm and patient, and he anchored great. He looked
patient.
So strong. Yeah.
Patience, a good word to use there, because obviously Joey Bosa is one of the 5 best pass rushers in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Wirfs is he has such great balance.
Yeah.
I thought his balance was terrific in this game because we know he's an elite athlete and He's so twitched up for a big man, but just the balance and his ability to move laterally and kind of never loses base. His base is always consistent, strong. And the other thing is, although like Tampa ran the ball pretty well in this game, Ronald Jones topped 100 because he's my GOAT. But Wirfs was fucking moving people in the run game too. It wasn't like Wirfs versus Bosa was the big matchup in the past, but I thought what he's doing on the run was just as impressive.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure.
I think he's already there. Like, no offense to Ali Marpet, I think Tristan Wirfs is the best lineman on that team.
You know, I'm kind of afraid of him getting lobbed into the old fashioned right tackle thing his whole career now.
It's gonna be stupid.
That crossed my mind in this game, where like he's obviously like you said, he might be already the best offensive lineman. You said he is, and he's obviously the best tackle on the team. But yeah. I hope that doesn't happen.
Mitchell Schwartz and Lane Johnson have been battling.
Yeah.
That right tackle
stigma
thing for years. Thank you, for years. But no, I mean, Wirfs, Becton, and Wills all look like future multiple Pro Bowl guys four games into their career, and it's crazy how quickly they've made such a strong impact. Okay, defensive rookie of the week.
Speaking of impact, I didn't have anyone pop off the screen to me again this week.
You don't like defense. You've always been an offensive person.
Honestly, you're not even – that sounds like a joke, but you're right. Especially when I'm watching games live, I am just – I'm focused on offense. But you know what?
Me, I'm a safety at heart, so I watch the safeties.
Well, when Daniel Sorensen's playing, I'm just keyed into him. But.
Yeah, I know you are.
Anyways, I give it to Jalen Johnson. It's not like this – game was amazing.
That's a good pick. I think that's a good pick. We were talking about him during that game.
Yeah.
And I was saying how good he looked, and you're like, well, he got beat up by Zach Pascal early in the game. But after that, I thought he was just locked down.
Yeah, I think he only gave up one other catch. He had two pass defensed. And I gave it to him because he's been the best rookie cornerback.
Yes, yes. So. And yeah, if you were doing an all-rookie team, he would be your corner one. Yep. And it hasn't been like he hasn't had a massively flashy performance. Like, obviously early CJ Henderson had some flashy ones, Legarius Sneed, but Jalen Johnson's just been, looks like a 10-year starter. Four games in, I think he's second in the league in pass defense.
It's impressive.
What I love about him is I think we both loved about him at Utah, is he's very intense.
Mm-hmm.
He's very, like, just locked in, and you see that on the field already with Chicago.
Yeah, it's translated to him like having like a vet like presence there already.
He's so technically sound for a young corner. Like, overall, he's not a bad athlete, but that was a bit of the knock, was he's not like the elite athlete of a Jeff Okuda. But he's just such a technically sound, like, he's got great eyes in zone, and he is so sound and press man. That was my favorite thing about him at Utah. And he looks like Chicago knows how to draft DBs.
He's been so important to the resurgence of this Bears defense. That's been pretty good, and obviously the Bears are winning games, but yeah.
Literally, like, they shut down the Colts offense. And, like, if they had anything close to an average offense themselves, I think they beat the Colts in that game. Yeah, but,
exactly.
I will stick with a defensive back from Utah. Classic. Julian Blackmon, Colts safety. Hence why I will forever trust Chris Ballard. A lot of people shit on this pick in the third round.
Hand up. He's my looks like a miss this week because I was way low on Julian Blackmon.
I liked Julian Blackmon, but I didn't like him there. Like, I liked him on day three.
okay.
I remember justifying that I trust Chris Ballard.
I remember that too.
Well, so a lot, right? Yeah, I always do. A lot of people like didn't think Julian Blackmon was draftable. So, a lot of people on draft Twitter.
I think I had I can pull it up right now. I think he was like in the 190s on my board. So,
yeah. So. But obviously he played corner and he played safety at Utah.
Yep.
He tore his ACL late in the season. He missed week one of this season because of the ACL.
And then last week, I think I put him somewhere last week too.
You did.
He came, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago when he came in for Malik Hooker, and he instantly was making plays. Actually, maybe the last 3 weeks now. anyway, point being, this was his best game.
Yes.
And this is the best game I've seen from a rookie DB this season, I think. Three passes defensed. One was a tip that ended up with him intercepting it.
Yep.
The other two were perfectly timed hits to break up passes, and it had my juices flowing. He, like, his instincts and just, he was just throwing his body, his physicality, his instincts. It was awesome.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Yeah. I forever trust Chris Ballard. Like, he looks like Malik Hooker, obviously, tore his Achilles. He's missing this year, and he was in a contract year. He's not going to be back because this is Julian Blackman's starting job. Trust the Colts on DBs you think you don't like but know are tough, apparently, because Kari Willis and Julian Blackman, back-to-back years, they have gotten big production out of safeties who people didn't really like.
And I was those people that didn't like either of them. I love Rocky Sin, though, so.
Yeah, sick. Congrats.
He hasn't been that good. He was okay this week.
Worst rookie.
Hey, DBs, let's keep it rolling, baby. And a guy who I think I mention every episode, Noah Igbinoghene.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so it was David Moore, baby. It was the David Moore show.
Okay, well, David Moore was running off the high from last week.
Yeah. So the first big David Moore catch to get Seattle down to the goal line just before the half, Noah was in coverage, and he just didn't cover David Moore. His eyes were just locked to the line of scrimmage. I don't know what the hell he was doing. Moore sneaked out. Russ made the throw. And they're down to the goal line and the score. And then again, on the game ceiling touchdown to David Moore, Igbinoghene's eyes were locked inside this time. Moore just ran by him, gave up the touchdown. Great catch, great throw. I think he credited for giving up four catches, 116 yards, and that touchdown. Like, we knew he'd take some time coming along, but, like, he was a first-round pick, so that elevates his expectations, and he's clearly not living up to that yet. But I'm not killing him for it. I knew he'd take time. I think we both did. Everyone did, but it just kind of sucks. He kind of sucks right now. So
and I think this makes what Jalen Johnson's done even more impressive, because I'm going to go with the corner as well, and we've done a lot of trash talk of the corners on this show.
Yes.
3-4 weeks. And Trevon Diggs is back. He is back, and he is beautiful. It wasn't like it was against Seattle where he was just getting torched. It was a lot of he just can't locate the football.
Mm-hmm.
He had, I think, two times where a better corner probably intercepts the pass, and he allowed completions and missed tackles. Where, like, he wasn't even in a bad position if he had undercut the route or just put his hand out, which he didn't do either time. He just, like, threw his shoulder into Jarvis Landry and bounced off, and Jarvis Landry caught the ball. It was pretty bad. So I put him, but I also put Clavon Chaisson,
okay,
who against the Bengals was irrelevant. Just, I think he played 40% of snaps. You wouldn't know it. The Bengals have at least one of the three worst offensive lines in the league, if not the worst.
Yeah.
And he did nothing. When he was on the field, he was like getting stonewalled by Bobby Hart.
The GOAT, yeah.
And this is every week I think I've mentioned that how just meh or irrelevant he has been. Like, it's not like he's out there making mistakes, but he's doing nothing.
Yeah.
He's just not impactful.
Yeah. No,
definitely. So I'll give you my least impactful rookie of the week, and then my worst rookie of the week there.
Okay.
Who's your primetime star?
I'm going to go with Brandon Ayuk, because his hurdle on the touchdown run was the star of primetime games, Rob. I know he didn't do, like, what, he had two catches for 18 in that run. It was kind of slim pickings, but, I mean, he definitely deserves it. And just getting him more involved in that offense, I think I said this last week, is going to be so awesome. Like, I think the whole world knows what he is now. You know, I feel like the average man, he probably didn't know who he was until this Sunday. So seeing him pop like that, I think was fantastic.
And basically, you could say a very similar thing about my pick here, which is Jerry Jeudy, he made one amazing play
that was
a big game changer in the game. Other than that, it wasn't a whole lot else. But last week on the show, I said I was underwhelmed. I'm waiting for him to make a game changing play, and then he made me eat my words against the Jets. He mossed Pierre Desir. And it's like he only had two grabs, but for 61 yards in that score, and that score was impressive. And it was a huge difference maker, I think, for giving Brett Rypien some confidence in a primetime NFL game for his first start. And overall, like, their passing attack is not what it's going to be once Drew Lock's healthy. So for Jeudy to kind of go out and just step up and make that play when they needed it, I thought that deserves some credit today.
Definitely. When you draft a wide receiver that high, you expect those type of catchy plays for Ayuk and Jerry Jeudy, right?
This rookie receiver class, the guys who are healthy have been awesome.
Yeah, and there's even been the depth performances.
I'm gonna mention a bunch more later when we do rookies who flash, but overall, like, the first four rounds have produced a lot of guys who look like they're gonna play in the league for a long time.
Your rookie who flash is Freddie Swain, right?
Of course.
Who they keep getting the ball to, baby. Anyways.
Yeah, he's a stud. All he does in practice is score. I'm sure of it. underwhelming performance.
So this is just because he's been maybe the best defensive rookie so far. I got two, but first I'm going to go Antoine Winfield Jr., who...
I knew you were going to make that pick, and I think that's a bad pick.
Okay. Okay. Wait, is a bad pick for underwhelming? I'm not saying you had...
Maybe not. Maybe not.
I'm not saying he was bad. Like,
he injured Austin Ekeler, so...
That's not good, Rob. And actually, that leads to my other pick, so... the long touchdown to Johnson was partly his fault. I'm not going to blame him for it, but he was there. I think it was just like it wasn't a bad game at all, but like it was a quiet game. And for a guy that's been, like I said, defensive rookie of the candidate, maybe number one, and like it, he's felt like he's been everywhere in every single game. He just like I don't know. It just was a quiet game. He had like two tackles. They blitzed him. I feel like they didn't blitz him as much. I didn't get the numbers.
They didn't. I don't think they did, just by my eyes.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I thought maybe I saw it twice, and it was ineffective. Not to him. Like, the ball was just out quick. But Jordan Whitehead did have a sack on a blitz, though. So it's just like, this isn't like he had a bad game. This is just underwhelming because he's been fucking amazing. That's all I'm saying.
No, okay, that's fair. I guess, yeah, he wasn't the same. We're obviously holding him to, I think, a higher standard than some of these other rookies because he's been, to this point, either him or Chase Young as defensive rookie of the year.
Exactly.
For underwhelming, I put two. One, just to touch on a guy you mentioned last week who was inactive, Ross Blacklock, was active this week, got 9 snaps against the Vikings, and was just irrelevant. And that... I mean, they fired Bill O'Brien, GM Bill O'Brien, but he was obviously their first pick because they didn't have a first-round pick, and he has added nothing to this team thus far.
No,
I still believe because I had him pretty high. Like, I think we both had him in the 30s on our board.
Yeah.
But it's disappointing to see, and I don't know. You'd think maybe carve out a specific role for a guy like who provides that much athleticism from the interior defensive line spot, but...
Maybe things change with B.O.B. I know it's not like B.O.B. was in charge of the defense, but maybe you got in the doghouse there and things change now.
Maybe. Hopefully. Because, yeah, he's like barely in, he's like really not in the rotation.
No.
And I also put Andrew Thomas. It hurts so much that he was the first tackle off the board and the three after him look like Pro Bowlers.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's... not been god awful, but he hasn't been very good. Obviously, the Giants in general aren't very good, but he, like, I don't know. It almost seems like he doesn't seem confident, or something. Where it's like I don't know, his something. I think he's playing really high, and I think he's not moving as well laterally as you'd expect, and just not playing balanced. Which comes back to what I said about Wirfs, where like his balance through contact as a pass blocker has been really impressive, and I feel like in my eyes, at least against the Rams, like
his base was just a mess.
I think like his first game was his best game. So this might just be like, yes, the Giants suck and he's losing confidence in himself.
And the staff doesn't know how to develop talent.
Yeah. I'll go with my second one. It led in with my first one. Josh Kelly. Like, after Eckler went down, Kelly did not step up at all. He had like nine carries for 7 yards. And then the fumble inside his own 10 at the end of the first half ignited the Buccaneers' comeback, because they went bang-bang on that from there to open the second half, too.
You mentioned that he didn't step up, and that's why I put him in. He needs to step it up.
That's correct, Rob. I mean, I do think he looked better when you throw the ball to him. He had 3 catches for 28 yards, picked up a 3rd and 11. He just didn't look confident running the ball at all. Like, getting.
He wasn't breaking any contact.
No, he was going down the line of like, obviously, he had 9 carries for 7 yards, but he was going down the line of scrimmage. It was like, and I even felt like the holes were there, and it's like, okay, this looks like there's an alley to run, and then it's kind of like an arm tackle, and he goes down. Yeah.
He's not like a very twitched up guy, right?
No.
So if you're not breaking the tackles and you don't have that just explosive gear,
And like he's
behind
been,
that offensive line, it's going
to
be hard.
Exactly. And he's been good to start his career. It just feels like, okay, like if anyone had higher expectations, temper them, because he looks like a, you know, like you got a good rotational guy, but he's not your bell cow or anything, right?
Yeah. Looks like a hit for me. I put Darnell Mooney.
He's my
I thought he looked
best, one of my best day three guys.
Nice. Because he looked really good against the Colts. He made an incredible back shoulder
body control
catch on a deep route where he roasted the corner off the snap, and it was just a bad ball, and he made a great adjustment.
And then you clipped it for Twitter. It got 52,000 views, but only 2 retweets and 5 likes. What's up with that?
Damn, I didn't know any of that.
At Rob Paul NFL, tell him Bobby Football sent you. Go follow.
Thanks, AJ. But no, I mean, coming out of Tulane,
yeah,
just I thought he could be the Deontay Johnson of that class,
okay,
if I remember correctly, just with his speed and his agility and his fluidity and explosion out of breaks as a route runner. And if they can get a quarterback there, obviously Allen Robinson's really good. Anthony Miller's been up and down, but he's flashed ability, and like Darnell Mooney, I think, could be their field stretcher. Mm-hmm. And just be a really interesting playmaker out of either the slot or out wide. And I liked what I saw from him against the Colts. It's a good defense.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of a playmaker, this one's more like, looks like a hit for Washington. I think they took Antonio Gibson higher than I had him. So I'm not claiming this for myself, but he's looked fantastic, man. He looks, first of all, he looks so fast. I mean, we knew he's fast, but like he looks so more refined early in his career, even in general, than I thought. Like when they do get him in the ball in the passing game, he looks obviously great. He's natural there, electric. Like he had one on a drag where he caught it and killed the angle on Queen, got like 17 yards. They line him up outside in a wide formation, through a little screen, and it just looks so easy for him in the open field. Like he finds the seam and he's accelerating. He gets 15 yards. 3rd and 11, another screen to him, 40 yards, the big play down to the goal line, and then he gets the rushing touchdown. He looks legit, and he's even just getting handoffs, he's looking good. And I think that's very impressive. And obviously, I think like we knew he was going to be great in the passing game. And they're getting – it's kind of fun having him and J.D. McKissic, who are both great receivers, involved. And Haskins is just dumping it off to them a lot. But getting him designed screens like out wide, I think, is great, and it's working. He's been fantastic. Yeah.
It felt like the first game that they actually took advantage of what we knew he could do in the passing game, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, it's kind of all coming together for him. He looks like a horse, and I'm just impressed how competent he looks as like when he's just used as a true running back too.
Yeah, him and Terry McLaurin. That's why you watch that offense. Just let me say, if they bench Dwayne Haskins, they're fucking stupid. Because what's Kyle Allen gonna offer you? Let Dwayne Haskins play out the season and figure out if there is something there. He's only started 10 games. It seems insane that you would just bench him for a career backup in a year you know you're not competing.
You know, that might have just been to light a fire. Because, like, Haskins seems like that type of guy that, like, that can feed off that motivation. You know what I mean? Like
I love Dwayne Haskins.
Me too, and I hope he pans out. And he wasn't bad in this game. And that team's a disaster. Like, like you said, don't bench him. Why giving up on him now is stupid. Like, it's different if you're in the position to land Trevor Lawrence, which I doubt they will be. But and then you take him. But I don't know, roll with him for now, man.
You already mentioned Julian Blackman was your look like a miss.
Oh, you know what? Hold on. Can I throw one more hitter in? Because Cesar Ruiz, I thought he just looked really solid. I think he was solid in pass pro. Good in the run, worked to the second level often and good. I just wanted to throw that in there because it's like his first full game. Yeah.
But you mentioned Julian Blackman was your look like a miss because you were too low on him. I'm doing the same with T. Higgins.
Okay.
5 touches for 90 yards against the Jaguars. He looks like he's developing much quicker than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking more explosive than I expected him to. And Burrow and him are starting to build some chemistry, and he's been a really nice complement to Tyler Boyd and Joe Mixon in that offense the last 2 weeks.
He needs to put a couple more together for me to call him a miss for me.
Oh, okay, because he's whatever you say, pal. Needs to step it up. I mentioned Josh Kelly, but I'm also going to throw Kenneth Murray into this.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't put Kenneth Murray anywhere. I think this is a good place to have him. Like, this wasn't a bad game, but he's just not impactful.
He gives up. He was just letting the running backs underneath him catch everything.
Yeah.
And, like, not in the cover two way where he's swallowing it. He was, like, giving up, like, 7 yards of play anytime he was targeted.
Yeah, just chasing and tackling, yeah.
Yeah, and he looked kind of lost in coverage. He did have a nice, I don't know if it was a TFL, but it was at least a big run stop. But other than that, you need him to do more, I think. Not ready to play. Do you have...
Yeah, I got one.
Needs to step it up.
Yeah, Tyree Phillips from Baltimore, who I didn't mention in the first couple weeks, but he wasn't great. Then kind of bounced back against KC, but I thought this week, I keyed on him. I didn't think he looked the best. Kind of especially in the run. Like, he had a play where he pulled and couldn't make the block. It was on an option, didn't go anywhere. They ran behind him to Gus.
It was massive. It's hard to move when you're that big.
Yeah, but he got there, and he just didn't make the block. And even just running behind him, like, straight up the gut, he's just fucking getting beat. Some complete whiffs, just not sustaining a block. I think he gave up multiple tackles. And then, like, in the passing game, I thought his anchor looked soft. They don't throw that much, so it's kind of hard to key on that. Like, I think he had, like, 21 throws, Lamar, and, you know, it's – he's like, there's a lot of rollouts and stuff, some easy stuff for him. But, like, I haven't been too impressed with him. And this would be a hit for me. I thought he went way too high. But, that's something to watch. And, I mean, he's got massive, massive shoes to fill with Marshall Yanda retiring, obviously. But and it hasn't hurt the Ravens, but it's something to watch.
Well, that, it's just kind of surprising because, like, the big plus about him coming out was how physical he is, and
yeah,
to that being kind of I don't want to say lackadaisical, but, like,
yeah,
you know,
I feel like lackadaisical might be a good word, to be honest.
Oh, thank you, it's my word of the day. Who's not ready to play?
It's kind of mean. I just keyed on him. He's saying Bassey. It's not like he was absolutely exposed.
It's not his fault.
Yeah, I know. And it was the goddamn Jets, though. Like, he's struggling a bit out there. I just think a better team is going to go and just absolutely expose him if he's going to have to keep playing. And again, like you said, it's not his fault, but just not
great. Hey, you could throw it on the other side, too, with the Jets playing Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, for sure.
I put him down, so that was a good transition.
Good work.
He's just getting cooked. Not the Ravens. Lamar Jackson, the former Nebraska Cornhusker to New York Jet. I also put Amik Roberts in, who got cooked when he had to come in against the Bills. He got burned deep, and he missed some tackles.
He didn't play too many snaps, though, did he?
He the first snap he gave up the touchdown.
No, I know, up to then, Gabe Davis. Yeah.
No, I know, you know. And then the next series he missed, I think, a tackle on that. And then, like, after that, I think they were purposely not playing him.
No, you're right. He wasn't good. I'm just saying, and this was limited playing time. Which is in a great life, yeah.
Best day 3 rookie.
So I have Mooney here. I also, like, it's hard not to put Michael on Wenyu because...
I put him. He's just playing a different position every week.
Yeah, I know he's right guard this week. And he looks like a goddamn stalwart wherever you... Like, obviously, you don't want to have him at tackle full time, but he's done it. But, like, being able to switch from left guard to right guard in a pinch and looking fantastic, man, he looks like he's a 12-year fucking pro at guard. Yeah.
He looks like he's, like, going to be just more than that, too, right? Like, he looks like he's going to be a Pro Bowl player.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, multiple Pro Bowls potential. And especially when you're in New England, the light's going to be there, and like they've had multiple offensive linemen get credit, but like he's looked amazing.
Yeah, when Joe Thuney leaves this offseason, he's plugging right in to start at left guard for a decade.
Yeah, and another Ferentz brother will come and play somewhere else.
Best UDFA rookie.
I mean, look, I literally just keep James Robinson's name in here because I mean he's just producing every single week, Rob. Was this like his least productive game too, and he's still
but great? It like 75 on the ground, 32 through the air, but the whole offense runs through him and LaVisca Chenault.
I know. This was. Do you have Chenault anywhere? I didn't want to step on.
Yeah, you. I do.
Okay, good. You know, I threw out going to Jets defenders. This is just a name to throw out that like surprised me, but Bryce Huff wasn't bad. I think he had like a couple pressures, a couple of tackles.
You love Memphis.
I might do, but just kind of surprised me. I thought he was looking like an NFL player out there. So I think that's a credit to a UDFA guy that I didn't expect. I know there were some fans of this, but I didn't expect too much from him.
I'm shocked you didn't put Tommy Townsend.
Should have been drafted.
He averaged 60.8 a punt against the Patriots on Monday. Or was that? Yeah, it was Monday.
Monday, yeah.
Monday. It was game one of Monday.
Monday early evening football, yeah.
Yeah, that's still Sunday to me. He looks like he's going to be a 10-year starter at punter.
There's been a little renaissance with punters and kickers, or young ones this year. But like
Townsend, Charlton, man.
Yeah. Even like Wisniewski looked pretty – wow. I said his name wrong, right?
I have no idea who you're talking about.
San Francisco, the Utah punter.
He's not a rookie.
Oh, my God, right. But, like, even Jack Fox, second year.
Baby. Mitch Wisniewski?
Yeah, Wisniewski.
Fool. Okay, rookies who flashed. Let me rattle off a couple receivers, and then I'll let you go.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson. Brandon Ayuk. LaVisca Chenault. Gabe Davis. So, Lamb... He's just not seeing that much coverage because they have two sick receivers with him. Scored two touchdowns. One of them was wide open. I don't think he has a drop this year. He leads, I think, all rookies in catches. Jefferson, who I believe leads all rookies in yards.
Yeah.
Once again, great game. Not to the same effect as the other week, but the Texans had nothing for him. He is thriving in Kubiak's play-action offense. Their offense is like looking so much more competent now that he's really involved. You already talked about Ayuk. LaVisca Chenault, like I said, the offense runs through him and James Robinson.
Yeah.
They've done a really good job. He had six touches for 91 against the Bengals. They just get the ball to him in space and he breaks tackles, it feels like, every play.
It's awesome.
And then Gabe Davis only had one catch, but it was a 26-yard touchdown. He's just adding a big vertical threat that this Bills offense didn't have that type of size on the outside. Now they do.
It's going to be interesting to see Davis's role expand in the Bills offense as the year goes on.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to go with a low-key one. It's kind of a funny one. It's just a guy we haven't mentioned and we both love that I wanted to talk about. KJ Hill, who this kind of rolls back to what we talked about earlier with like Tyron Johnson had the long touchdown. Jalen Guyton has been good this year for them. And then Donald Parham's getting worked in. I know he's not a receiver, but still, it's funny that like all these guys are ahead of him. And he's not getting involved in the offense at all, but he had a long punt return. He had a punt
return called back.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with this.
He's called back.
I know.
You're putting him as a flash because he had a punt return called back and can't break into an offense full of undrafted second-year players?
Yeah, this wasn't fuck you. It's not positive. It was more I just wanted to talk about him.
I also put Jedrick Wills here.
Sure. Yeah. I was going low key, you go high key, which is I respect.
Well, you should put the guys who are good. No. That's why they flash.
No, it
sucks. KJ Hill had one punt return for 10 yards.
And then the other long one that got called back. Yeah.
Jedrick Wills was throwing DeMarcus Lawrence around. Helped the team run for 307 with the best running back in the NFL, not named Alvin Kamara, out. That's what's up. Out of nowhere, Rook. This would have been a cool one for KJ Hill, maybe. I don't know.
I'm going even lower key, baby. Justin Heron, who got thrown into the game at right tackle. The Frank Clark strip sack, he gave up, but Hoyer.
He did not look good. Do you understand how this works?
No, hold on. I disagree. I think, like, he held his own pretty much for the rest of the game other than that strip sack. And, like, Brian Hoyer's got no pocket presence, though. We know that. And I think, like, I know Owen Wenyu's been amazing, but I think being beside another six-round rookie, there's just no vet.
Well, Isaiah Wynn came back into the game.
Yeah, what do you mean? When was that left tackle?
Yeah.
Heron was playing right.
Yeah, Heron came in at left tackle.
And then right.
Then when Isaiah Wynn came in, and then he moved to right.
Yeah.
And he looked terrible.
No, he didn't look that bad. It was the Clark play. That's it. I think he gave up like one other pressure. He wasn't that bad.
All right.
He was okay in the run. Right. I'm not saying he was amazing. It was just that was a solid performance from a six-round rookie who just got thrown into the game.
It wasn't as good as the guy beside him.
I know, but Mindy's not out of nowhere. He's a fucking
I'm just giving you shit. Don't worry.
I know you are.
I put Jordan Glasgow.
Okay, see, he
blocked a punt. There he was drafted to do that, and he did it. I also put Jalen Hawkins, who I thought was like one of the only players on the Falcons defense playing with any energy against the Packers.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. It was
He wasn't good, but he was flying around and at least moving. Where like that defense just looks so pathetic at times. Outside of basically Grady Jarrett and Deion Jones, that's like it just sad. And so I thought like Jalen Hawkins was like at least this guy's running to the ball.
Olu Khan too, just throwing his. He's not that good.
Oh yeah, He's my Daniel Sorensen.
Michael Walker's got a little bit of energy. Another guy I thought like I liked him a lot, but he went too early. I thought. I don't know. Hawkins, I was really low on too. So.
Okay, start the rook.
Okay, we already talked about Tua. I threw it in here too, though. Fitz threw two picks. He could have had another three. KJ Wright dropped a bunch. He was awesome, though. he wasn't brutal at all, but I think it's time to see what you got in Tua. And there's a chance you're getting the first overall pick. I know it's probably not going to happen, but B.O.B. just got fired. You got the Texans pick. There's a chance. And if you don't, like, it's so weird. Like, you got to see what you got into, or else you're like theoretically this is going to happen. But imagine you're staring down Trevor Lawrence and you saw two games of Tua.
It's just
a weird circumstance to be in. So see what you got into. I think he's a total hit and he's going to be a stud. But in case you are staring down Trevor Lawrence, you better know for sure. And I'm very confident he's going to be a stud. You better know for sure. Yeah.
It sucks because their bye week's not for a while, it's not till mid November. And they're in San Francisco this week, and they've already named Fitz the starter. They're in Denver the week after.
That's
Denver
what I was going to say. Yeah. Yeah.
Is maybe, but like you already mentioned Bassey earlier, Michael Ojemudia has been a target of the show. Like they have a young second, or young corner group. Maybe that's a good game.
I agree. And the pass or much, yeah.
Or the game after that, they're at home against the Chargers. Yeah. I think if he's not starting by that game, like, I don't know what you're doing.
I looked at this. Yeah, this week is not the week, obviously. But I do think the Broncos game is.
I agree with you. And I totally agree with your take about the Trevor Lawrence thing, where you have to see Tua just in case. Like, because if Trevor Lawrence is the highest graded quarterback you've ever evaluated as a front office, can you really pass that up? Like, when you've only seen two. Like, we saw this happen with Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray, and obviously this is not nearly the same thing.
No.
This is just, you have to get eyes on it. Like, you need to start to. I am interested to see what they would do with that pick if they would just take Penei Sewell and just beef up that offensive line.
I'm kind of cheering to get the pick, but yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, they've already invested, like, a lot of other picks in young guys, so you'd have to give up on someone to takes who well
I think if they end up with the first pick they're trading for the biggest ransom in draft history probably, but
I should take Travis Etienne. You need a running back.
Imagine. Hold on, well, before you get to yours, I'll throw Alton Robinson in from the same game, who I think I had him for flash last week. He's making plays in limited snaps. Like, I think he won a couple pass rushes, and then he had a sweet tackle for loss coming from the backside in the red zone. Just keep, I'm not saying, you know, play him the whole game. Benson Mayo has been actually pretty solid, but just keep working him in more and more and more, which I think they're going to do, and he's looking pretty good.
He was on Dame Brugler's all-rookie team this week.
There you go. Yeah. I didn't check the snap count, but it wasn't heavy, and he was flashing when he was on the field.
And the other thing is, a lot, like, outside of Chase Young, there's been, like, no rookie pass rushers doing anything.
That's a good point, yeah.
Like, he's probably actually is the second best.
And then Mike Dana, yeah.
And yeah, look, hey, Mike Dana's going to play forever. My king. The only Wolverine I've ever liked. Mine is Isaiah Simmons.
Who?
Exactly. The 8th overall pick hasn't played more than, I think, 10 snaps since week one.
I don't get it.
He played 10 against the Panthers, who torched that Cardinals defense that looks terrible. And I get that the 49ers attacked Isaiah Simmons, and Kyle Shanahan, like, did a great job of doing that.
It's Kyle Shanahan.
It's Kyle Shanahan. Two, it was his first NFL game. Three, you're just not going to play him when the rest of your, like Jordan Hicks is a legitimately solid linebacker.
I always like Jordan Hicks, yeah.
But like, stick Isaiah Simmons beside him. Stick Isaiah Simmons at safety. I don't care what you do. The Panthers gashed you for four quarters. Your team seems like it's falling apart. Maybe play the 8th overall pick, or at least deploy him in a specific way. Have a package for him. Do something with him. You can't just relegate him to special teams and like two snaps a quarter. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
to me.
Bigger. I mean, to defend the Cardinals though, it is the Hassan Reddick Renaissance. So
they were talking about that like a weird amount on the broadcast.
Were they actually? I didn't watch any of that.
Yeah, legitimately. Yeah. I was like, he's like pretty irrelevant.
Hassan has zapped Simmons' powers. I already told you this.
Like, it was weird.
There's a Space Jam.
They were like, yeah, he's talked about how it's taken him a couple years to get it, but now he's got it. And it was like, this guy's doing zero. I don't know what you're talking about.
He's been okay. It's better than he's been.
But, like, he's like a partial starter.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a first-round pick. Why are we just throwing him a bone like that? You know what else, fellas? Listen up. Because today, we have a new Manscaped product alert.
Whoa.
AJ, sound the alarm.
Wee-oo!
Thanks. Manscaped just released the Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer.
Whoa.
Take a look in the mirror, and I guarantee you'll see hair sticking out those holes. Ooh. It's time to keep your ears and nose hair looking as nice as your clean-shaven pubes. I've always said, after the pubes, your next most important hair spot is your ears and nose.
Do you have a lot of nose hairs?
A lot? Or long?
Well, both.
I'd say I don't have a lot, but I have long ones.
Okay, I think I'm in the same boat. Like, I can touch one right now, so... and you can hear
it. I feel like having a lot would suck.
Filter out all that stuff, though. But no more. You gotta smell good, baby. You gotta.
Can't you die if you don't pull your nose hair out right or something? Does that make that up? I don't know.
You know what the right way to get your nose hair out is, Rob?
With the weed whacker.
Amen, brother.
Do you have ear hair?
I don't think so. No.
My hair covers my ears, so like it's all.
So you do have ear hair.
Maybe.
Hold on, I'm taking a headphone out. No, I'm good in the ears. My nose are hairy though. Like, I got a couple. My
right. I could use like I want the weed whacker for my nose for sure.
And like the nose for is such sure. a like you said it, we think we might die if we pull it out wrong. So I mean, I'm always scared.
No, I know we'll hairs. Die.
We need the okay. Stop the show. We're calling the Manscaped hotline and ordering some weed whackers right now.
Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their weed whacker. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. The same way the Lawnmower 3.0 helps you not cut your balls open. It didn't say that. That was an ad lib.
I knew.
The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree
rotary
dual-blade system. I can barely say these words. They're so high-tech.
These specs are sick.
It's intelligently contoured designs. Oh, my God, these words. Design enhances the trimming experience, and it's waterproof, which makes for an easy operation and cleaning. The only nose hair trimmer on the market with a powerful and rechargeable lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 90 minutes of use. Have you ever pulled your nose hairs out with your fingers? That might hurt worse than nicking your balls. It could kill you even. Why it should say that? Manscaped is making whacking your weeds a time to look forward to, delivering maximum confidence while providing hygiene. Yes, you will get a replaceable blade every 3 months to keep your weed whacking time clean and enjoyable. That's kind of nice of them. That cost them money. Look, fellas, I'm bad at reading today. 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hairs is a major turnoff. This is why I don't have a girlfriend.
79%? Oh my God.
Here I am looking for that slim 21% to marry me. Oh. Foolish.
All your Tinder pics, they just zoom in on that nose and it's like, oh my God. Swipe.
It's
left? I don't know.
It's time to upgrade your Manscaped routine with the Weed Whacker. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ROGUETHEORY.
What?
At manscaped.com. Thank you, Manscaped, for keeping our pubes trimmed and hairs in our holes looking nice.
Rogue get 20%.
That's, yeah, but also you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com.
That one, I like.
But Rogue Theory is a cooler one.
It sounds that's like 20% the next off Mission with Impossible. Free. Sorry.
That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code ARMCHAIR. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds. That's a sick tagline. Hey, and what are you waiting for? Go spend money on football games to make more money at BetOnline, your online wagering experts and the presenting sponsors of our Picks Against the Spread this week. AJ, how'd you do last week?
7-8.
I'm an 8-7.
Fucking bastard.
Yeah, but you're still up. I'm 33-29-1. What are you?
I'm up three games, 36-26-1.
Must be nice. Packers and Lions are on bye this week. Obviously, last week the Titans and Steelers ended up having a bye. We do not care, says me and Mike Tomlin. Okay, Thursday night football. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in Chicago. I don't know why this was the opponent chosen for a Thursday night football game.
It's not that bad of a game, though.
It's good only because the Bears' defense is good, but, like, do you really want to watch Nick Foles?
No, but I want to watch Antoine Winfield Jr. pick him off a couple times.
Yeah, it's a good rookie game. Like, we get to see Tristan Wirfs against a good defensive front.
Good test for Jalen Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. Oh, look at that. You still be on the game. Bucs are 5-point favorites in Chicago.
I'm taking Tampa Bay. I mean, look, that's a bit of disrespect. Not really, but the Bears will say it. It's being 5-point dogs at home. I don't trust Nicholas. Large Phallus and Nicholas. I don't trust the Bears' offense. That's it. Like we said, that's a big test for Jalen Johnson and Fuller. Godwin should be back this week, I assume, right? Or maybe not. I don't know.
Don't need him. Scotty Miller's sick.
Scotty Miller's sick. Maybe Tyler Johnson will get some targets this week.
He was playing. He was playing.
Yeah, just no targets. I know. I don't think he. No, I don't think there was any. Yeah, no, go Bucks.
Because the defense was so focused on him. That's how Scotty Miller got so open.
Shoot, Justin Watson.
Okay, Sunday, 1 p.m. Panthers at Falcons. Atlanta's 2.5-point favorites.
You didn't make your pick, but I assume you're taking the Bucs, right?
Oh, yeah. Did I not? You said it all for me.
Okay.
Amen. Bucs minus -5, yes. And I'm taking the Panthers plus 2.5 in Atlanta because that Falcons defense looks like a joke. The Panthers are like, weirdly underrated now because everyone thought they would be so bad.
Yeah.
And Joe Brady's really got Teddy Bridgewater looking very solid. It's a very solid offense. The offensive line's playing much better than anyone expected. Defensively, they're CMC young
either. Like Mike Davis is a king. Yeah.
Defensively, they're young, but they've played pretty well in recent weeks. I didn't even talk about Derek Brown today, but he was really good against the run last week. I don't know. The Falcons just look demoralized. Until Dan Quinn's gone, I'll be picking against them.
I went back and forth. I had the Falcons down, but you changed my mind. I'm going to take the Panthers. I don't think Julio Jones would be in the game this week. Calvin Ridley was amazing the first 3 weeks and then got shut up by Jaire Alexander. Ryan didn't look that good this week. So, like, the key to the game is really just if they can stop Calvin Ridley, to be honest. Yeah, I'm audibling. I'm taking the Panthers with you.
1 p.m., Raiders at Chiefs. Chiefs 13.5-point favorites.
I'm just going to go stick with the old it's a divisional game. That's a lot of points. The Raiders aren't that bad. I'm going to take the Raiders plus the points. They lose, but they cover.
And I will ignore that and pick the Chiefs because the smart, Chiefs are better at football. And the Raiders are banged up. Yeah. 1 p.m., Rams, 8-point favorites on the road at FedEx Field against the Washington football team.
I'm taking the Rams.
I am also taking the Rams.
They weren't impressive this week, but
Washington doesn't even look like they're trying to win games.
That's a good point, yeah.
1 p.m., Jaguars at Texans. Did the Texans get the interim head coach bump? They're favored by 6. Yeah, oh, wait, did I make the... No, that's the real line. I didn't make that line myself.
I literally read this on betonline.ag, and, like, is that the right line? Give me the Jags all day. I know the Cornell bump is coming in, but come on. They're to be favored by 6? Against the Jags?
That seems like a crazy amount.
Okay, you know what? I will go on to betonline.ig. It's so easy. They're so readable. And double check this line.
And I will talk while you do that. I'll be taking the Texans. You know I believe in the interim coach bump. I love Romeo Crennel. Deshaun Watson hasn't played poorly at all. Their offensive line has been inconsistent, but Laremy Tunsil's looked really good. The Jaguars are reverting back to what we thought they were. I'm gonna take the Texans to win like a 28-20 game.
The line is correct. You know what? Fuck it. Just to be against you, I'm gonna say the Jags win outright and keep the Texans winless.
Okay. 1 p.m. Cardinals at Jets. Cards 7-point favorites on the road.
The Cards.
That's how bad the Jets are, and the Cards have not been good.
No, but I'm taking them because the Jets are the worst.
Yeah. Is this the Adam Gase gets fired game?
Fuck. Well, first of all, it should have been last week.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. I hope so. I don't know. But, like, I think fire Williams, too. Don't make him your interim coach.
No, okay. I disagree with you there.
He's the worst.
I want Greggy in charge. And then hire him full-time.
No.
I'll be taking the Cards. Kyler's going to, I hope, pick that defense apart. 1 p.m. Eagles at Steelers. The battle for Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh 7-point favorites coming off their fake bye.
The battle for the Keystone State, baby. I'm taking the Steelers. That pass rush is going to eat that Eagles offensive line alive. Wentz isn't very good. Well, it looked okay.
Pittsburgh plays down to everyone. You forget.
I know. That's why I thought for a second. But I'm like, T.J. Watt doesn't play down, baby. He's going to be all over Carson Wentz.
That's a really good point. And that sold me. I'll be taking the Steelers.
That's what I just said there made you a Steelers fan.
Yeah, I was going to pick the Eagles, but now I won't. 1 p.m., Bengals at Ravens in the AFC North showdown of the century between former Heisman-winning quarterbacks. Baltimore 13.5-point favorites at home.
Hey, I just did the same formula. Give me the Bengals in a divisional game plus the points. The Ravens are good, but I don't think they're world beaters at this second. I think they win by 10, but the Bengals cover.
And I will once again do the opposite and just take the team that I think is better, and that is the Ravens to cover.
I'm going to hit on one of these, but not both. That's my prediction.
Which means I'll hit on one, but not both.
That's correct. Yeah, we'll have the same record next week. Don't worry.
Okay, the final 1 p.m. game has no line. It's the Bills at the Titans. No line because of COVID. I set my own line with the Bills favored by 2.5.
I did too. That's crazy. Yeah.
And I'll be taking the Bills.
Me too. Did you make a total just for fun?
No, because you know I don't respect that. Because no matter what I put, I say pound the over.
I put 47. Anyways.
And pound the over.
Yeah, retweet. Yeah, I put Bills minus 2.5 as well. I'm going to take the Bills. That's a lot to overcome for the Titans. And I think the Bills are the better team. So.
We also have 2 of the 4 o'clock games with no line, starting with at 4:05, the Dolphins at Niners. Niners don't know who's starting at quarterback. That's why there's no line. Mm-hmm. I set it with San Fran by 4.
Oh, okay. I put it 10.5. I think they're going to get the respect.
Even if Jimmy G's not playing?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So do you want to split the difference? And
7.5?
7? 7.5?
Yeah, let's do 7.5.
I'll still take the 49ers because...
Me too.
Also, no line. 425. Broncos at Pats. We don't know what's up with the quarterback position. It dinged us both last week because we both took the Cam Newton-led Patriots to cover against the Chiefs.
And you said we had to stick to our guns.
Yes, because we picked games a week ahead of schedule and because we're ballers. I'm taking the Pats to cover a 6.5-point spread.
Okay, I had a 5.5, so.
So we go 6?
Yeah, let's do it. And I'm also taking the Pats.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Stidham's the truth. That's what I've always said.
If this was a team, like, if they were playing a team that wasn't down to their, well, should be second, but he is a third-string quarterback and isn't banged up as hell in their own right. Like, I set the total at 41. The real total might be lower, and it might stay under. I don't think there's going to be a lot of points in this game, and I'm taking the pass.
Belichick's going to come out running the triple option if Cam's not healthy. 425. The Giants are at the Cowboys. Boys are favored by 9.5.
It's so hard to trust the Cowboys right now, but the Giants are I mean, they showed up against Rams, but they're stinky. I'm going to take Dallas, but I don't feel the best.
Breaking your own rule.
When it's over 10 points, I stick to my rule.
Oh, that's the rule. Okay, yeah. It's been adjusted for when you go against it. I'll also be taking the Cowboys. I know their defense is horrible, but Dak's on pace to destroy the passing yards record. He's going to pick apart the Giants. High-scoring game. But the Cowboys won by like 20 still.
Oh, okay. I don't. They should. I just don't trust them, but I'm taking them.
Final 425 game. Colts at Browns. Colts 2-point road favorites.
This is an interesting. This is clearly the best of the 4 o'clock games. I'm taking Cleveland. I thought it was impressive last week. I don't think they duplicate it like they did, but the Colts D is good. I still don't trust Philly Rivs. I think this is a low-scoring game. I think the Browns when I'm getting points with the Browns at home, too. And I think they went outright, so I'm going to feel good about this. Well, I don't feel good, but I'm going to take the Browns, Rob. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. I will be taking the Colts. I think that defense is going to be – like, Baker hasn't actually been playing that well. It's very much been the running attack. And I think this defense can give them some issues up front. DeForest Buckner has been one of the best defensive players in the league. You know I'm biased for my Colts.
I know.
And I hate the Browns. So I'm just going to take the Colts, and that's that.
I love the Browns.
Sunday Night Football, the Vikings are at your Seahawks. Seahawks favored by 7.
Doing the same thing. Okay, you gave me shit last week, but I was close to getting that back to recover from the fans. They were in it the whole time. Doing the same thing this week. Seattle wins, Minnesota covers.
I'm just going to take the Seahawks. That Vikings secondary is bad. So is Monday Night Football. Yeah. Chargers at Saints. Justin Herbert in primetime on the road in New Orleans. 7.5-point favorites are the Saints. I said that weird.
It's tricky, though, right? Like, the Saints scored a lot, but I don't think they looked particularly good again this week. Herbert looked good. I'm going to take New Orleans. I think they win. I'm not confident with the cover, but I'm going to take them.
I will be taking New Orleans's, but I think Justin Herbert's going to keep thriving. I'll say that.
Yeah, I do. I agree. That. I agree.
And that's it. That's it for the show. So thanks for coming in. Don't pull your nose hairs without the weed whacker.